Well, we're continuing our series entitled The Anatomy of Faith. What does it mean to have faith? And what does it mean for us to grow in faith? How can I do that? How can you grow in your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? And we began last week by saying that faith is the bond that unites us to Jesus Christ. It is the way in which Jesus Christ becomes yours. It is the bond by which we become his. It is the union in which we trust Christ and in which we love Christ and in which we follow Christ. We do not do any of these things perfectly. I want to trust Christ more fully than I do. I want to love Christ more deeply than I do. I want to follow him more consistently than I do. And I'm sure that you feel the same. We do not do any of these things completely or perfectly. But by God's grace, we can all stand if we're in Christ with Peter when he said, in all his failures, do you remember Peter said, Lord, you know that I love you. You know, Lord, that I trust you. Despite all my inconsistencies, my many failures, that I stand here today as your child, as one who wants to follow and serve you. So we've been learning then that faith is more than bare belief. The devil knows that Jesus is the Son of God. He knows that he died on the cross and he knows that he rose from the dead. But the devil does not trust Christ and the devil does not love Christ and the devil certainly does not obey Christ. Faith unites us to Christ. It is the bond of a living union in which his life flows into us. That's what it is. And we have been asking the question then, how do I get that kind of faith? And when I have it, how do I grow in that kind of faith? And I have a sense of urgency about this series because this is a moment where our faith is being stretched, perhaps like never before. I feel a need to grow in faith in my own life. I feel a need for us to grow in faith as a congregation. And so I asked you last week to join me in two prayers throughout these 2 months. Lord, increase my faith. And Lord, increase our faith. And this series is about how that can happen. Now, please turn with me, would you, to Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, we're praying, Lord, increase my faith. Lord, increase our faith. And here is what God says to us in the scripture. Faith comes from hearing. That's Romans 10:17. He says to us, faith comes from hearing. That's where it comes from. And hearing, that is the capacity to hear, comes from the word of Christ. That's where we have to begin. We've called the series The Anatomy of Faith, and we're beginning with the ears, listening to the word of Christ. Faith comes from hearing. Now you find this all the way through the Bible. You remember how our Lord Jesus stated it? Man shall not live by bread alone. But how are we going to live? How do we live the Christian life? What sustains us? We live on every word that comes from the mouth of God. We live on the words that come from the mouth of God. And the words that come from the mouth of God are given to us in the scripture. And Jesus says, you live on this word. That's how you live. That's where faith comes from. This is how the life of Christ is communicated to you by the Holy Spirit. Faith unites us to Christ. And Christ nourishes us, sustains us, feeds us, and he does this, he says, through the word. So this word is to your life like bread is to your body. That's what Jesus says. And Paul puts it this way, faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of Christ. So faith comes by this word. And yet, here's the fascinating thing. There's an enigma in this. Faith comes through the word, and yet God calls us to bring faith to the word. Both these things are very clear in the scripture. If you turn over with me in your Bible to Hebrews in chapter 4, Hebrews in chapter 4, And you will see there that the writer is speaking about the Israelites back in the Old Testament who did not enter the promised land. And he says in chapter 3 and verse 19, right at the end of chapter 3 there, they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. That's why they didn't get into the promised land. That's why that generation died out in the wilderness, wandering round and round for 40 years. Why was it? Because of their unbelief. Now Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2. The message that they heard was of no value to them because those who heard did not combine it with faith. So the writer to the Hebrews says, way back in the Old Testament, these people heard the message. In fact, he says they heard the gospel just as we're hearing the gospel. Isn't that interesting? They heard the gospel in the Old Testament. But the message that they heard was of no value to them. Why? Because they did not combine it in faith, and so they spent years just going round and round in circles and died in the desert. So Christ sustains my life through the Word of God. That means I need to hear it. But I need to hear the word with faith. Because if I do not hear the word of God with faith, it will be, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2, of no value to me. I will derive no benefit from it. I'll simply be a person who comes to church and hears sermons, maybe for 10, 20, or 40, or 50 years, and it all kinds of goes over my head, never really changes my life, and I never really grow in faith. Now, this truth, of course, you remember, was made very, very clear by the Lord Jesus in a parable that he told that most of us know very well. Remember the parable of the sower? There's one seed in Jesus' story, but there are four different kinds of soil. And Jesus says the sower goes out to sow seed. The word of God is cast into the ground of people's lives. In other words, he's describing exactly what is happening right now as we're gathered in the place of worship and we are hearing the word of God. And Jesus explains in his parable that the same seed has different effects in different people's lives. For some, the word of God makes very little difference. Their hearts are hard. Jesus says Satan snatches the seed away. So that really any good that it might have done is gone within a very short time, and the word is of no value to them. For others, the word of God only has a temporary effect. They're perhaps only moved at a surface kind of emotional level. Their hearts are shallow, and when pressure comes, these folks shrivel. Then Jesus says for others again, the word of God is choked by competing priorities, which he defines as worries in life, and particularly interest in money. And also, he says, desire for other things. They can, competing priorities choke out the effect of the word that is heard in many people's lives. Happens every week. But for some of us, Jesus says, the word of God produces a great harvest, a bumper harvest, 30, 60, or even 100-fold. The seed in the good soil flourishes and becomes very fruitful indeed. Now, most of us know the parable. But here's what Jesus said about the parable just shortly afterwards. It's only recorded in Luke's Gospel in chapter 8 and verse 18. Jesus said this after the parable of the sower. He said, consider carefully then how you listen. Because here we are, we're all hearing the word of God, and Jesus says, you be very careful about how you listen. Because the word of God has radically different effects in different people's lives. It's of no benefit to some because they do not hear it with faith. Hebrews 4:2. Gets choked out in the lives of others, and it's abundantly fruitful in the lives of others again. So today's sermon, I've never preached a message like this before from the Bible. Today's sermon is about how to listen to a sermon. You know, pastors study how to speak the Word of God. We as a congregation need to learn how to hear the Word of God. to consider how we listen, so that the Word of God will be fruitful in our lives and through our ministry. So that this will be increasingly a place where the Word of God flourishes, not a place where Satan snatches its value away or where its life is choked out. Consider, says Jesus, carefully how you listen. How do you listen? One suggests from the Scriptures some principles for deriving maximum benefit from the Word of God, because faith comes from hearing. So consider how you listen. Here's number one. Come with a settled conviction that God speaks through His Word. If you want the Word of God to bring change in your life, if you want a great harvest to come from God's Word in you, if you want the Word of God to create hearing and to create faith and for you to really grow, come with the settled conviction. You've got to settle this in your mind. You've got to know this, that God speaks, present tense, through His Word. Now, I smile whenever I think about this. Some years ago, I was taking a wedding in the south of England. The couple, who were from my church, but they were being married in another place, were concerned for their unconverted relatives in the family. And they said to me, "Colin, when you do our wedding, we want you to preach the gospel. It'll perhaps be the only time that these folks have heard it, or the first time that they have heard it." So I preached the gospel, as they had asked me to do, for about 15 or 20 minutes in the wedding. The photographer had not counted on this, and he was desperate to get on with his work. Our Andrew, our oldest boy, was just a baby, and while I was speaking, Karen took him outside of the church, where she met the photographer, who was pacing up and down like a caged lion. And he said to my wife, "Who is that man in there who is going on and on and on?" To which she said, "He's my husband." And the photographer said, "Oh no, he went such a color of red, I can't describe it to you." And he said, "I can't wait to tell my wife that one." Listen. To many people, that is all the preaching of the Word of God is. It's a man. And he's going on and on and on. And quite honestly, if that is what you think the preaching of the Word of God is, there's no reason to listen, is there? Now turn with me in the Scriptures to 1 Thessalonians and chapter 2 and verse 13. 1 Thessalonians and chapter 2 and verse 13, because I want you to see there's something completely different. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. Thessalonians is fascinating because in that town, people's lives were quickly and radically changed by Paul's ministry of the Word of God. And here's what he says about it in 1 Thessalonians 2:13. He says, "We thank God continually." He says, "We're always thanking God when we think about you, because," here's why, "when you received the Word of God," that is when Paul came and he preached the Scriptures, proclaimed the gospel, "when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it actually is, the Word of God, which is at work in you who believe." You see what he's saying? You heard the Word of God. That time, of course, it would have been the Old Testament Scriptures being proclaimed by the Apostle Paul. You heard the Word of God from us, but you didn't receive it as the Word of men. You didn't just think this is a man talking. You received this as the word of God because we were speaking the scripture to you, and it is the word of God. That's what Paul is saying. You grasp that God speaks through his word. That's how God speaks. That's how you hear his voice. What he says is what he says in the scriptures. Now, folks, that's our conviction at the Orchard. We believe that God speaks through his word. Not just that he spoke through his word, but that he speaks through his word. That is why when we gather, we want to sing the word, we want to pray the word, we want to read the word, we have the preaching of the word, we want to hear the word so that we may go out and live the word, having received that by the Spirit who creates and sustains faith through the word. God speaks through his word. God speaks through his word. Now, here's the importance of that. We listen differently when we know who is speaking. See, when I listen to the adverts, if I really have to listen to the adverts, I haven't got the DVR to kind of roll it on and miss the adverts when I'm watching television. You know that thing? If you have to listen to the adverts, how well do you listen to the adverts? I listen to the adverts so passively. If something happens to grab my attention, I suddenly waken up. But I listen passively to the adverts. Candidly, that's how some people listen to the Word of God. I listen to my enemies differently. I listen to my enemies defensively. You know that thing? Someone who you know's got it in for you, someone who's against you, someone who's trying to pull you down. I listen to them. I listen to my enemies defensively. And that's how some listen to the word of God. You think of God as your enemy, that's how you'll listen to his word. But I listen to my friends in a different way. I hear them with an open heart because I know that they love me. And when they tell me that I am wrong, I listen to them because I know that they are in my corner. They want to do me good. So the way that you listen to the word of God, whether that be passively, or whether that be defensively, or whether that be eagerly and gladly, tells you about your relationship with God. Right there, it reveals what your relationship with God really is. God's friends hear his word gladly. So when you know that God speaks through his word, you will come to his word expectantly. Here's the thing, we all have our ideas about what we want to hear. We all have our ideas about what we think we need to hear. But when God speaks, he chooses what he wants to say. So let me give you just a very practical example from my own experience this week at the conference that I mentioned to you a few moments ago. God spoke to me through his word this week, through a message from Pastor C.J. Mahaney from 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. And what got to me and came to me fresh was this. Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. I was familiar with that. Here's the words that the Holy Spirit grabbed hold of me with. Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season with great patience, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and 4 and verse 2, with great patience. Folks, I saw some areas in my life through the word of God in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2 that calls us to great patience. I saw this week some areas through the word of God where I am impatient. I did not go into that meeting thinking about patience. I was not feeling a need in regard to patience. I was not particularly aware going in of a lack of patience. But God spoke to me about patience through 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. Now you see, you may be thinking at this moment, okay, I've come to church this weekend and I'm facing all this stuff in my life. And the last thing in the world I need is a sermon about how to hear a sermon. The last thing I need is a message about how to hear the word of God, can you consider the possibility, friend, that that may be exactly what you need? That what God is saying to you from the scriptures right now is that your greatest need is not for a quick fix for the problem that's uppermost in your mind, but for you to develop a regular pattern of receiving the word of God into your life with faith so that you will bear long-term fruit that you have not been bearing for years. You never know what God is going to say to you. But you know where he's going to say it to you from. It's through his word. Let me encourage you just with a couple of practical things before we move on here. That these are just practical things that I and others, many others here, have found very helpful. If you're going to come expectantly, bring a Bible to church. Just bring a Bible to church. Not any Bible, not the smallest Bible you can find with the smallest print in all of the world. Bring your Bible. Have one Bible. I just commend this to you. Have one Bible that you get to know over a couple of years or 3 years, and once you wear it thin, then get another one. But use our times together to discover your Bible. I'm assuming that you have a hunger and thirst for God's word. And bring a pen and a paper to write down what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. I'm not suggesting that you write down everything in the sermon. That's not the point. That's not particularly important. But if you are expectant that God will speak to you as you sit under the ministry of his word, then it makes sense that you would want to capture what he is saying to you and where you need to think further and to follow through. Listen, folks. I do not go to breakfast with the church chairman without a paper and pen. Why? Because I know that when I have breakfast with the church chairman to whom I am accountable, he is going to say some things that I need to follow through on. I just know he's going to do that, and I don't want to mess up. I take him seriously. Now, if that's my disposition when I'm listening to the words of a man to whom I am accountable, how much more should that be my disposition when I am listening to the word of God? Don't be a passive listener when God is speaking. Come to the settled conviction that God speaks through his word. Come expecting God to speak to you. And here's a second thing. Come with a hearty appetite. You know, when Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God, he's making the connection between the analogy of food and God's words, which are like food to us. He's inviting us to think about God's word as a nourishing meal. So I think of it this way, that the preacher's task is to prepare for the people of God every week a nourishing meal from the word of God. The table should be spread in a way that is attractive. The food should be placed where it is accessible to the guests. Most of all, what is served should be the nourishing food of the word of God, because God's people are certainly not nourished by the dry bones of a preacher's opinions, nor are we nourished to eternal life by the preacher's latest thoughts on how to improve your marriage or how to get better self-esteem. God, think of this, God has never promised to bless my words. But he has promised to bless his word. He said it will not come back unfruitful. Therefore, the task of the preacher is to set God's word before God's people so that we may be fed and we may be nourished. That's what's happening here. But when the meal is prepared and when the meal is served, what's our part? Come with an appetite. Come hungry. Come, all you who are thirsty, Isaiah says, come and eat. Listen to me. Notice the connection between the word and the food. Listen to me, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. You say, okay, how do you develop a healthy appetite? Here's how. Use the pressures of your life to increase your appetite for the Word of God. That's how you do it. You use the pressures of your life to increase your appetite for the Word of God. You'll not be a passive listener then. You see, where do you get that from? You'll find it all over the Psalms, everywhere. Let me give you just three examples. Psalm 42. Here's an appetite. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul longs for you, O God. Where did he get that appetite from? Next verse. My tears have been my food all day long. So he uses his tears, his grief, to increase his appetite to receive from God. Psalm 27, one thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. That's some appetite. Where does it come from? Answer, for in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. You see, I'm facing trouble, therefore I need to draw near to God. I need to hear from him. I need to be strengthened by him. Psalm 73, as for me, it is good to be near God. There's an appetite, good to be near God. Where does that appetite come from? My feet had almost slipped. My heart was grieved. My spirit was embittered till I entered the sanctuary of God. Use the pressures of your life, whatever they are, to increase your appetite for the Word of God. Folks, if everything in life was apple pie, I might not feel this hunger and thirst for God. But the truth is, I face great pressures. My own sins are many. Therefore, I am hungry and thirsty for God. That's how to use the pressures of your life, whatever they are. Sometimes hear a pastor saying at the beginning, you know, in a call to worship, now let's just shut out all the realities of our daily life just for this time with God. Folks, that's impossible. We don't come here to kind of have a little retreat, a little vacation from all the realities of life. We use the realities of life to increase our appetite for the Word of God so that we come hungry and thirsty to receive from his hand. So cultivate the settled conviction that God speaks through his Word. Come with a healthy appetite. Use all that's weighing on you right now to increase that appetite. Here's the third thing. Learn to use a knife and fork. Learn to use a knife and fork. By the way, I could make a case that no American knows how to use a knife or fork, but that's beside the point. Here's what I'm getting at. Infants need to be spoon-fed. At some point in your life, that was true of you, as it was for me. My mother tells me about how I did very well, except when there were baked beans, and she said, "Bleh, you just never took them down." Spoon-fed. The rest of the family were sitting at the table, eating. And you were in your high chair with your food ground to pulp. And your mother or your father or perhaps a sister or a brother feeding it to you with a spoon. But it was not long before you learned to use a knife and a fork. Listen, the preacher's task is to prepare the meal. But when the dinner is served, it is your task to use the knife and fork to eat what is laid before you. You can sit at a table lavishly laden with a banquet. You can come to that table really hungry. But unless you use the knife and fork, whatever's on the table and however hungry you are, you will not be fed. Now, I'm using a picture here. So what am I trying to say? Here it is. When the Word of God is preached, you need to make the applications of truth to the particular circumstances of your life. Let me say that again because it's so important. Here's what it means to use the knife and fork. When the Word of God is preached, when it is served to the table, when it's laid before you, you need to use the knife and fork to make particular applications to the unique circumstances of your life that are different from anybody else's. You say, now wait a minute. Isn't it the preacher's job to give me the applications? Listen. When God spoke to me this week about patience from 2 Timothy in chapter 4, I was sitting in an auditorium with 7,000 other people. 7,000 situations where patience is needed. 7,000 situations where in some way impatience is being displayed. And all of them are different. And that's on the assumption that each of us only has one. I could think of at least three. It would be impossible for any preacher to make every application of to every life situation in the congregation. And if it was possible, folks, it would be interminable. We'd be here into tomorrow and the next day. The Holy Spirit is given to you so that you may have wisdom to apply the Word of God as it is being taught to the particular circumstances of your life that the speaker may never even be aware of. Infant Christians want to be spoon-fed. You know them. Because they are always saying, what's the bottom line? Where's the takeaway? Give me the takeaway. They say this time and again, you know. Give me the application, as if there was only one. And you know what? When the preacher is lulled by that kind of spiritual infancy into reducing the Word of God to a short list of to-dos, you know, so all of us have got to go and do this or do that or whatever else it is, it obscures the unique way in which God, by the Holy Spirit, takes the one word and applies it in different, unique circumstances of human life in more ways than either the preacher or any individual hearer could ever begin to imagine. Only God can do that. Listen, God is not building robots. He is raising sons and daughters who hear his word and develop the capacity to apply it to the particular uniquenesses of each individual life and so to respond to it with faith and with gladness. So folks, there are two acts of faith involved in the communication of God's word. There is an act of faith in the speaking, flowing from the conviction that God speaks through his word. I would never dare to preach if I didn't believe that. Because how on earth could I say something that meets the needs of people? God speaks through his word, and by his Holy Spirit, he is able to apply that word in more ways than I could ever think up in my entire life. And there is an act of faith involved in the hearing of God's word, in which you ask the Holy Spirit to show you how the word applies to your particular circumstances of life, just as when I heard from 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, and it came to me with freshness, you've got to do all your work with great patience. I saw several ways in which I needed to apply that in my circumstances of life, and no doubt 6,999 other people had to use their knife and fork to apply it to their situation that no doubt was quite different from mine. Come with a settled conviction that God speaks through his word. Come with a healthy appetite. Learn to use your knife and your fork. Come to the Word of God with faith, and your faith will increase. Without faith, it will never do you any good. For to whoever has, more will be given. That's what Jesus said. And that leaves one last question in these last moments, and it's this. You say, well, wait a minute. What if I have no faith? How can I bring faith to the Word of God if I have no faith? How can I ever derive any benefit here? I have no faith. Listen to this text one more time in this last moment. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. Here's the amazing mystery, that God not only sustains faith through His Word, but He creates faith through His Word. You may have no faith today, but what this verse tells us is that God is able to create the capacity for hearing in you, which will produce faith in your life. God creates by speaking. That's how the world was created. And that's how faith comes. Here you are, and you're in this situation. You have no faith, but you are hearing the Word of God that points us to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And what God is telling you is this: faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the Word of God. So if you are saying, well, I have no faith, where do I go from here? Here's three things you can do. You place yourself regularly under the Word of God. You read it. You listen to this Word. And don't listen to it as if it was the words of men, but it is the Word of God. Come with that settled conviction. Come with an appetite you know that you need. So place yourself under the ministry of God's Word as you are right now. Second, recognize that you need God to do something in you that you cannot do for yourself. You need Him to give you ears that can hear. You want to come to Him today and say, Lord Jesus, I need You to change me, because otherwise I will be the kind of person You spoke about who is always hearing and never understanding, always seeing and never perceiving. Lord Jesus, You said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. I need You to give me ears that will hear. I need You to do for me what I cannot do for myself. And you know, when you come to that place, faith has just been born in you. You're beginning already to reach out to Him. As you see that you need Him to do what you cannot do for yourself. And here's the very last thing then. Look to Jesus Christ. It's so significant that Paul says here, faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the Word of Christ. The whole Bible is about Jesus Christ. The message of this book, that although you are a sinner, although you are a rebel, and your rebellion is seen most in your unbelief, God loves you and has sent His Son into the world for you, who died as an atoning sacrifice for your sin and was raised again on the third day, and lives with power so that He is able to create in you what you do not have by nature. And when you see this Christ and see that He is for you, you will be drawn to come to Him even today and to say, Lord Jesus Christ, save me. Give me what I do not have. And make me one who is united to You in the living bond of faith. Let's pray together. Father, we have been asking You to increase our faith. And today we hear You saying, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ. So thank You for Your Word. Help us to be those today and every day who receive it with faith, and so grow in faith. Help us to be those who are hungry and thirsty after You. Help us, we pray, that with the wisdom of Your Holy Spirit, You will help us to grow and to walk in all Your ways. so that individually and together we may walk in paths that will make us fruitful through Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. And everyone together said,